Thank you for this opportunity. I do hope that you're met with today by God. And before I get into the message, I'd just like to say, give you some titles of the names of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, He's all in all. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs. He can satisfy everything from the Alpha to the Omega, from the A to the Z. Amen. Satisfaction is not found in a religion. Satisfaction is found in a man. And just because he's visually not here today, as if we can see one another, that doesn't mean that he's not here. As a matter of fact, if I said it before to remind Berean Bible Baptist Church again, you may think this is your church, and we keep the lights on in here, but he's the one that founded this church. Listen, would you say he's the one that gave you this church? And could I say it one more time? He's the one that invited you to come today. Yeah, we're not here under our quote-unquote, we are under our own volition, but we were here by invitation. And that invitation came by a man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say he's everything you need today. And some of the things about him, the list could go on and on. He's the Lord. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He's the light of the world. He is a lamb as well as he is a lion. And he's all that you need. I guess back there in the Bible you had Cain and Abel. And Cain tried to kill Abel. And Cain did kill Abel. But Jesus Christ is Abel. Amen. And he's not dead today. He's alive. He's risen and he's well. He's a great high priest. He's faithful. He's true. And the Bible says about Jesus Christ that he's the captain of our salvation. It says about him being able to supply all your needs and take care of you from the cradle to the grave. He says that he's the chief cornerstone and he's the Word of God. He's a beloved son and he's a bridegroom. Congratulations to Lee and Matt. That is wonderful, wonderful news. Don't listen, whatever, out west. And he's an advocate and he's a judge. The Bible says about him that he's an author and that he's the creator of all things. And he's the beginning and the ending, just a couple more. He's a servant. He's a Messiah. And he's a mediator and he's a savior. And just one or two more, he's a rock. And he's the Prince of Peace. Amen. The world is looking for peace. You can't find peace without the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, that's your belief. No, that's my testimony. Amen. I had no peace without the Word of God. I had no peace without the Lord Jesus Christ and Him taking residence up inside of me. I have no peace when I ain't got fellowship with Him. And He's a door. He's a vine. He's a resurrection. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's a wonderful... He's a counselor, and he's an almighty, he's the almighty God. Amen? And he deserves that. He deserves that prominence. He deserves to be bragged about. Amen? That's what they're doing up in his home. That's what they're doing up in my home right now. You know? And they're bragging about him. They're bragging. They're not bragging about the walls. They're not bragging about the jasper. They're not bragging about the streets of gold. They're not bragging about how well he made it. They're not bragging about all that stuff. They're just bragging about him. They're just bragging about the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's a good thing. If you would take your Bible this morning and look at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And this morning I got a message for you. The title of it is the Observation of Thankfulness. And I guess we're in the Thanksgiving season, and as I've mentioned before, we're coming into that. Thanksgiving is a Christian holiday. Historically, Thanksgiving is the Christian holiday. Christmas is not a Christian holiday, and I'm not going to go any further than that. But Christmas is not a Christian holiday, okay, but we won't throw the baby out with the bathwater. We'll use it, okay, to try to give glory and honor to the birth of Jesus Christ and try to get others to receive that free gift of God, which is eternal life. If the world wants to give us that opportunity, we'll take advantage of it. We'll think about God and all this stuff. But Thanksgiving is a Christian holiday. We're in that season, and What I'd like to say is, as I mentioned before, we wouldn't have a Thanksgiving in our country historically, and I'm not going to go down the road of Thanksgiving and the Puritans that came over on the Mayflower and things of that nature. Bill Grady, pastor, evangelist Bill Grady, has a great book out. It's called What Hath God Wrought? If you want to fill up your brain with history as a Christian, which avails to yourself a great foundation and gives you comfort and courage as to what God's plan is for America, what God's plan was for America, and what he did with those Puritans and Christians that came over here with the Word of God, then you get that book and read it and read some truth about where you came from. But it wouldn't be without God and without Jesus Christ and the Bible and the sacrifices of followers, there would be no America today. There'd be no America today. Uh-oh, somebody's going to get caught. I got the hand in the cookie jar. I hope it's a Subaru, man. I could use a new windshield or something. There'd be no Thanksgiving. There'd be no USA. There'd be no red, white, and blue without the followers of Jesus Christ. And that's the Thanksgiving story. Hey, let me just, to try to capture your attention again, what is America like today without a good majority of those type of people that I just listed? Yeah, there it is, Dan. Darkness, man. Darkness all around us. You say, what's the red, white, and blue represent today? Well, unfortunately, it represents a lot. But morally, it represents, and I'm going to talk to you about the observation of thankfulness. It represents drunkenness, abortion, sodomy, drugs, higher education, lust, greed, murder, religion. Why? Because of the absence of you, of us people. We're just a small minority. There's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Amen. I understand that. But we used to have kind of sort of the majority. But now we don't. And that's okay. Little as much when God's in it. And but it's Thanksgiving message today. Man said one time, Brother Peacock says the old preacher, but the old preacher, Dr. Ruckman, used to say, the news media will get you killed. He would say that all the time. Hey, listen, you know what Russia and socialism and communism started with? It started with journalists. Yes, it did. You know what you got running yourself today? Journalists that are breathing out nothing but dead air, hot air, and lies. That's all right. Dr. Ruckman used to say, back to the Bible or back to the jungle. Back to the Bible or back to the jungle. One other thing that he used to say is those that will not be ruled by God shall be ruled by tyrants. So, a Thanksgiving message for you today. Look with me, if you would, please, in Luke chapter 17. Now, the first part of this message, I'm going to be speaking to the lost here just for a minute. And I wish that there were a few lost folks in here, and we prayed that they'd come, but they didn't make it this time. But if this goes out over the air and God can use it, so be it. And then I'm going to be talking to you Christians. Listen, there is a blessing. Look, there's a blessing for you Christians, for us Christians. I sit right there too with you, all of us right now, okay? We all put our pants on the same way. You put your dress on. I don't put a dress on. I'm telling you, thank God, amen? We'll leave that to the Pope, amen? And maybe them Muslims too. I've seen them wearing a dress time or two. It's all right. It's all right. We love you. We want you to get saved. We really do. There's a blessing here to Christians. But look with me in Yeho, the observations of thankfulness. Read with me in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, talking about the 10 lepers. And it came to pass as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Well, they had to, because they had leprosy. You know, that was the law. That's what they were supposed to do, because that leprosy stuff will spread. And they lift up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, one of the 10, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that are returned to give glory to God. So this fella that had spent a lot of his time, I'll finish reading that in a minute. This fella that had spent a lot of his time just sitting with leprosy outside of the gate and away, now found himself healed and cleansed. And he's at the very same spot where he was before, but Jesus wasn't there before. But now Jesus shows up and he's down there again, right at his feet. Leprosy had him down there before. Now he's down there willingly at the feet of the one that helped him out. That's free. I didn't have that in there. And Jesus answering, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this sinner. So this fellow returning in his posture was thankful and gave glory to God. And this is what Jesus said. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now I can't give the story away yet. And I'll try to keep you here, but what a great historical event this is. As I've mentioned before, when you think about Jesus Christ and you talk to the Lord and you pray personally on a personal note, you know what you need to remind him of? You know what you need to remind yourself of? Jesus Christ had the power to heal people. See, we don't have a religion here. We've not followed cunningly devised fables, man. Jesus Christ was able to speak words and get people's physical bodies healed. He was able to touch people and get them healed. And we're not running the gamut of being healing today on a physical thing. But his words can heal you today on the inside, which will overflow to the outside. And when you talk to the Lord, you need to remind yourself that that's your Lord. When he was topside, when he was on the earth, when he was in his body, he had power to heal. And it's wonderful. But observations of thankfulness. And to observe something, it's evident to observe something. Observations of thankfulness. We can look at this story and we can observe some things. We can learn. We can get some wisdom. We can get some knowledge. We can get some understanding if we'll apply what we see in this passage. Okay? So some observations, looking at something. You go to the Empire State Building. You go to the Sears Tower. You go to an observatory. You say, what's going on? You're up there and you're looking. Okay? You're up there way up high. My wife doesn't like heights. She doesn't trust me with her with heights. I don't understand that. Okay? But she can explain that to you. I don't get it. She'll trust my son-in-law on a roller coaster before she'll trust me. But when you're up there, you're in the Empire State Building or things of that nature, you're observing things. And we can observe some things about these lepers that got healed. I'd like to tell you this. Jesus Christ, God, is observing you. His nature is when he'd be in church, he would watch the people that would put money into the offertory. You know, when you put your, and we're not about money here, and we're not running that banner either, but when you put your money into the basket, you ought to sit back and think about your past week and say, Lord, thank you for getting me through and giving me the strength and the health and the wisdom to be able to do that. Because that's him using you to do an eternal work right here. And the Lord, he watched them. John chapter 1, Jesus observed, he found Philip as a disciple and as an apostle. And Philip said, hey, I'd like to go get my brother Nathanael. The Lord said, go. And he brought Nathanael back to him and he said, hey, an Israelite in whom was no guile. And Nathanael said, you don't even know me. I ain't even met you. And you know what Jesus said? He said, I've been watching you. He said, Nathanael, he said, I saw you under the fig tree when you didn't think nobody else was watching. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not trying to hit you over the head. God's watching. And so oftentimes I'll say, God, thank you for your long suffering towards me. Amen. But hey, listen, when you watch and observe things and people and situations and the admonitions of the Bible, you can get knowledge. You can get understanding. You can get wisdom from those things. As I've said before, and I reminded myself, when a guy hits his thumb with a hammer and goes, ouch, that doesn't mean I got to hit my own thumb with a hammer to feel how it feels. I should be able to learn from him and observe from him. Amen. Boy, that's wisdom. That's wisdom. But look with me here in Luke chapter number 12, Luke 17. What can we observe in the observations of thankfulness? What can we observe here? Well, number one, you can observe in verse number 12. This is Jesus. He entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood far off. Number one, what can you observe? You can observe that leprosy is like sin in the Bible. Leprosy is a disease. Sin is sin. But sin is like a disease. And leprosy in the Bible, these were 10 lepers and they were diseased. And leprosy is like sin. It's a disease. Sin is a disease in mankind that causes you to lose things. Leprosy causes you to lose things. Now stay with me. I try to make it as simple as possible. Leprosy, Tommy Tillman, missionary to the lepers in... Oh, I had it. I had it right over there, so don't forget. In Thailand, thank you, in Thailand, see? He would send pictures all the time, and they wouldn't have any fingers. They'd have nubs. There'd be noses missing. There'd be arms missing. Listen, leprosy takes things from you. It causes you to lose things. These men lost digits. I can guarantee you that's what leprosy does. Sin will cause you to lose. Sin will never leave you any better than it finds you. Sin always causes you to spend more than you want to or stay longer than you desire. But leprosy is like sin. It causes you to lose parts of your body. It causes you to lose parts of your life, just like these lepers. It separates you from society. Check the AIDS wards today. Check the people that are in the crack houses today. Check the people that are divorced today. Check the people that, I won't go there, but nonetheless, it's sin and leprosy separates folks from society. And eventually, you know what sin will do? Like leprosy, it'll cause death. Amen. It'll separate you from your God and or from God, or you'll experience God without the righteousness like the brother talked about for all eternity in a lake of fire. Amen. That's the consequences of sin. Leprosy and sin causes death. How many of you know could raise your hand and say, I know that there's LSD in the Bible? Talking about sin and leprosy, I'll go there in just a second. I know a lady back in Long Island, New York, that when it was in about the 1965, 67, that she was a beautiful young lady, a Jewish girl, blonde hair, beautiful young lady. I won't give you her name. But she went to a party in high school. She was not a drinker. She was not a smoker. She wasn't a chewer and all that stuff. But she went to a party in high school. And she wanted to get along. She wasn't any of those things. And her friends persuaded her to take a hit. It was LSD. It was called acid. It was just a little thing, and I'm glad you kids don't know about that, and I'm not going to elaborate on it, but it's a hallucinogenic. You put it under your tongue, and you start, tweet, 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 I believe I can fly type things. She's a schizophrenic today. To talk to her, it took her mind. One little thing. Look at James chapter number 1. LSD is in the Bible. It's related to leprosy. It's related to sin. James chapter 1. Now I'm talking about the observation of thankfulness. These lepers were engrossed with that leprosy. They were engrossed with that sin. Just like you and I. LSD in the Bible. Look at James chapter 1 verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted. James chapter 1 verse 14. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. There's L. And enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. There's S. When it is finished, bringeth forth death. LSD is found in your Bible. Yeah. Romans chapter 23, we know these verses, but sin is like leprosy. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5 verse 12 says, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Sin is like leprosy. Sin will cause you to lose things. Jesus said, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Romans 6:23, we know these verses, but the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. David said, behold, in Psalms 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. O sinner, why are you running? Christ Jesus came in Christ Jesus came into the world to save you and me. Amen. Lepers. Sinners. Yeah. Well, I'll go on down. Listen, the end results of leprosy is death. The results of sin is eternal death and hell in the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death." Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says, all liars, sorcerers and whoremongers and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You say, what am I alluding to? Your leprosy was treacherous. Your leprosy was sin that was going to lead you to death. And so is true of the sinner today. You know what sin is? Sin's like an anchor that's attached to your eternal soul. You say, Brother Jim, could you get on to the observation of thankfulness? I'm getting there. Just hold on one second. I promise I'm getting there. I promise I'm getting there. Sin's like an anchor that's attached to your eternal soul. And you know what? You wound every one of those woven pieces of that rope with your decisions due to the temptations that were affecting you. It wasn't God. It was you making those decisions when you disobeyed your conscience and one little weave came into that rope and it was tied to your ankle. You got to get that. Listen, you got to get that rope off of your soul. That, listen, on the end of that rope is an anchor. And when you step out of this body, that anchor is going with that sin. That anchor of sin is going to go to the place where it came from. It's not going to go up. It's going to go down. You've got to get that rope cut off of you. And your good works isn't going to unwind it. Your good works isn't going to cut it. There's only one thing that can take the anchor of sin off of your eternal soul, and that is a sinless man. That is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power to cut that rope from off of you so that when you step out of this body, so very good Sunday school, Brother Dan, I enjoyed that immensely. When that soul steps out of this body, it's not going to go down with its sin. It's going to go up with its Savior. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. You know that? And you know what? That's what these lepers experienced. They had this leprosy. They had this sin. They had something in their lives that was separating them. It was causing them to lose digits. It was causing them to lose their lives. Hey, sin can cause a premature death. And when they cried out, Jesus Christ cleansed them. Jesus Christ cut the rope. Jesus Christ healed them of that leprosy. No more. How old were they? I don't know. Were they 18 years old? Were they 30 years old? Were they 40 years old? Were they 50 years old? I don't know. All as I know is that when they cried out for mercy, when they got sick of that sin, when they realized it was dragging them down, they were outcasts, they were done, they had no use in life, they didn't get it, it was all Sigmund Freud, it was all them jackrabbits over there that are believing in evolution. And they cried out. The leprosy was cleansed. Hey, you know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? He hath taken upon Him our infirmities and our sicknesses. Where did those sicknesses go? Did they go into thin air? No. The lowly Galilean, the Lord of glory, absorbed your sins. He absorbed. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Yeah, amen. Can I move around, brother? Is that all right? He's got it going on, doesn't he? Hey, leper. Are you cleansed today? Hey, are you cleansed from your sin? The Bible says, he that is born of God sinneth not. Brother Matt said, we don't stand in our own righteousness. We the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible says about cutting that rope, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Has your rope been cut? The Bible says about cutting that rope of sin and that anchor of sin that can go where it came from. The Bible says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Aren't you glad that rope's been cut? Aren't you glad you're not dragging that thing around anymore? You know, like Marley. You know, like that. What's that? What's that movie? What's that Christmas story or with Scrooge? Yeah. You know, Marley. He comes in. And Scrooge is in there lying down, you know, and who are you? I'm your partner, right? What are those? Those are the chains and the locks that we forged together. He's coming from the underground. He's dragging that stuff with him. Not me, man. I'm gone, buddy. Whoo! I'm flying away. I'm not dragging any of that. I got a lot that I could be dragging. He cleansed me of that leprosy. Man, I'm so thankful for that. That was the attitude of this one. That was the attitude of the one out of ten. Whew. Hallelujah. I may have struggles. I may be missing some digits, but I am clean. I am accepted. I'm accepted in the beloved. Listen, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become. I'm a son of God. Yeah. I've been sealed, sanctified, adopted. The results of the conditions of sin or leprosy that causes is there for, and those that are plagued by it, and with it, with the end results. Pardon me, I'm like Biden again. But listen, it caused them to cry out for mercy. You know what God's looking for today? For a leper to come to the end of his rope and to cry out for mercy. That's what God's looking for. God delights in that. Do you know that his son, the everything that his son went through, Brother Dan, everything that Jesus Christ went through, whether in his ministry or whether on that cross or when his soul was down in hell, it's vindicated when there's one that just says, I've had enough. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yeah. And the father looks at the son and goes, shoo. Vindication. There's one more that's been pulled from the fire. So I talked about the lepers there. In verse number 12, you enter into a, you can learn about that. That sin is like, leprosy is like sin. Number two, look at verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. You say, well, what can you observe about that? Observation of thankfulness. What can you observe? You can observe that in mercy and cleansing and healing is available from Jesus Christ. Amen. Look, how busy is God right now? You ever thought about it? You ever thought about how busy God is? If I was to think about it in my mind, if I had to keep it all together, now God has it all under control. He knows every thought. He knows every motive. He's God. But if you were to think about it in your mind, how can he do it? The Bible says, by him were all things created, and by him do all things consist. He knows the very hairs of your head. The chair that you're sitting on, he's holding together. The life I have in the breath in my lungs, he's giving me. He's putting it all together. But yet, you want to know something that you can learn from verse number 14? He saw him. Jesus Christ, as he went up and down in the land doing his father's business, Jesus Christ had time for those. He saw their need. He saw that they were being affected by their leprosy. He saw those that called out to him in humility and with a contrite heart. Listen, these lepers were so bummed out about this thing, and they had heard so much about this guy, they weren't ashamed publicly to lift up their voice and cry and scream for him. And as Jesus Christ was about his Father's business, God manifest in the flesh, being able to walk on water, being able to raise from the dead, being able to knock soldiers back with his own words, who do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth, I am he. And them grown soldiers, grown Roman soldiers, fell backwards just because of Jesus Christ's words. And you want to know what you can observe in thankfulness today, Sister Joy? He has time for some lepers. He didn't just go, sorry if that made you uncomfortable. He didn't just go, whatever, man. Like I do sometimes. I have my own agenda. Jesus Christ had his own agenda, but he had time for some lepers. For those that will call on to him with a contrite heart, the Lord said, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Their leprosy, their sin had brought them extremely low. There is no other help for them but this man of Galilee, this man with the words of healing, this man that could possibly touch them and cleanse them and heal them. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 34, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. You know what that theme is? The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not so much the sodomy, but it was idleness of time and fullness of bread. Bible says in Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15, "Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Now, you can learn from these men and their humility. They called out to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ had time for them. There were others that were proud that the Lord virtually had no time for. And I would ask you today, where do you find yourself? You know, my daughter, back in Long Island, she wanted a dog. And we had a husband, wife, and six kids, and we lived in a two-bedroom ranch. That's the home God gave us. We were happy with it. But my daughter wanted a dog. And so a lady that came to church, she bred purebred German Schnauzers. If you can imagine where I'm going with this story right now after what I just said. Now listen, if I understand things right about German Schnauzers, the black ones sell well, the gray ones sell well, but the white ones you might as well make hot dogs out of. And so the lady said, "Oh, your daughter wants it. I got a white one. Give it to you. It's a male." "Oh yeah, we'll do it. Praise the Lord. We want to, the Stewarts get, help the kids, dogs, everything. Yeah, it's so good. Anna." Yeah. We brought home the white Schnauzer. He wanted to be the alpha in our home. That guy did not like me at all. He didn't like me. No. Wait a minute. Don't laugh too far because it might get a little close to home. Listen, he was in my house. I was keeping him warm. I was keeping him cool. I was keeping him bathed. I even took him outside. He had nothing to do with me. He wouldn't come when I called. The only time he had come is when I had what? Food. Oh, no. Well, that's a proud dog. I'll give you another illustration here. Just like the attitude of these lepers here, when we get to Minnesota, a man that I worked with knew that my daughter, same daughter, Anna, imagine that, she wanted a dog. And my work associate knew that my daughter wanted a dog, and he came to me one day and says, "Hey, I know a man out on a farm that had a dog wander onto his house. It's a wanderer. It's skinny, kind of emaciated, but nervous, but it seems like a nice dog. Would you be interested?" Yeah. Man, we got her. We fed her. We washed her. We brought her home. We still have her. We have one of her pups. She's a humble dog. She's the greatest dog in the world. You say, what's that an illustration of? That's an illustration of one person that's proud and one person that's humble. And the humble one gets the attention of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's something to be thankful for. And that's number two. But when it comes to observation of thankfulness, I would ask you today, where are you at with the Lord? Are you that Schnauzer? I think, ladies, she's a part, border collie and whatever the other thing, blue heeler. Humblest thing in the world, just a wanderer. Just a little nobody dog left for nothing. Which one are you today? Well, the observations of thankfulness, look at verses number 15 and 16. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet," there it is, "giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan." You say, what do you learn from that? You can also observe that if any of those lepers that heard his words and followed through with his instructions would take a moment, just take a moment, that's it, just take a moment to see what the Lord did for them in their lives, and feel the cleansing of the conscience and the healing of the mind and the salvation of the soul, that right there would just cause them to stop instead of go on with their lives. Just cause them to stop. And what does the Bible say? Turn. Just turn. Turn for what? Just turn because of your thankfulness. Because, leper, Jesus Christ healed you. Jesus Christ cleansed you. And you're going to find out a little later a benefit and a blessing that he got that the other ones didn't get. Listen. I know that you have needs in your life. I know the Bible says in everything give thanks. That's hard to do, but when you do it, it's a blessing. I know the Bible says, but thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And all these things about thanksgiving. But oftentimes, you and I as humans, we want that which comes from the cow more than we want the cow. You say, did you call God a cow? No. But what I'm saying, as far as illustration goes, our heart's mindset ought to be that this is what Jesus Christ has done for us lepers. In that, okay, we're thankful for this, and we're thankful for that, and we're thankful as Americans. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And as Americans, you and I have a list this long, times 47, of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon you and I. And you know what we do? We get down and we say, thank you for the family, thank you for the babies, thank you for the houses, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you for this, thank you for that. You know how I'm going horizontal? And the Lord says, yeah. You know what's more important to be thankful for? This leper turned and was thankful for that right there. Amen. That's what it ought to be. That's where it ought to start. Thankful just for the Lord Jesus Christ. Just thankful for Him. And that's what you can learn out of this thing. Hey, listen, he didn't follow the crowd anymore. He just turned, as it says in verse number 15. He turned. He turned from going one way. He didn't follow the crowd. Okay, so I would have to say this right here. Oftentimes in Christianity, you and I get stuck in a rut. Let me ask you something, just to try to get you to think one time. I won't do a cartwheel, I promise. But these 10 lepers, these 9 lepers, Mr. William, were they obeying the voice of Jesus Christ? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests, and as they all went away, they were cleansed. Were they obeying the voice of Jesus Christ? Yes, they were. So you know what that tells me? You can lose your heart attitude towards Jesus Christ in doing the mundane, not mundane, doing the daily Christian things of your life. Read my Bible today. Praise the Lord. I prayed today. Praise the Lord. Did the Lord show up with you in your Bible reading, or was it a check mark? Did the Lord show up with you in your prayer time, or was it a check mark? I put my money into the offering today. Praise the Lord. Was it because it was just mundane because you had to do it by the letter of the law, or was it the spirit of the law because, leper, you were cleansed by Jesus Christ? See, that's where the heart gets in. And you and I, in this world, it's going so fast. And we've got the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things. And what they do is they kind of just, that heart just kind of gets hardened just a little bit. It gets callous just a little bit. When was the last time that you had true fellowship with a brother or sister inside of the walls of Berean Bible Baptist Church? Yeah. Where it was heart to heart, where it was good, where you guys enjoyed one another. You weren't just bumping shoulders on a Sunday morning, bumping shoulders on a Wednesday night. You could have cared less. You just came in, you just did what you had to do, and you walked out. We're all susceptible to it. But the observation of thankfulness is, this guy turned around and gave glory and honor to Jesus Christ in thankfulness. Yes. Not just because of what he did for them, but because of who he was. Amen. That's it. That's a right motive. The things that you and I do in our life, and the Bible does say of what sort it is, that's the thing that governs that motive. That's what's very important. So let me move on here. Look at verses number 18 and 19. Observations of thankfulness. This is where it gets for you and I. I got just a few more minutes. If you'll just stick with me right here and just see what I'm seeing, you'll get a blessing. I believe you will. And then we'll be done, okay? Are you ready? Would you agree with me? Look at verses number 18 and 19. Verse 17. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Who's he asking that? He's asking the guy that just got cleansed. What benediction, what authority? Well, this is a guy that's just like that guy. Why is the Lord asking this leper that was just cleansed a question? He's asking him a question. This guy has no validity. He's got no power inside of him to say, well, they're right over there, Lord. And yeah, I don't know what you should do with them, Lord. And yeah. He says there, but where are the nine? There's two questions to this fella. He didn't say nothing. That's probably a good idea. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. That's what the Lord says about the fella. Although those guys obeyed the Lord, but yet they didn't give the Lord glory because they didn't have the heart attitude like this fella had, because he just took a moment to turn and return and stop and consider how great things the Lord hath done for him. Observations of thankfulness. You say, well, okay, that's nice, and I don't know, it might have gone above my head right now, and I'm ready to go have coffee, but how does this affect me? Here we go. This isn't fair. Look what Jesus Christ said to this man. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. All right, here we go. This is our applications, brothers and sisters. Let me ask you something. Did those nine get what this guy got? Yeah, healed, cleansed. Did those nine get what this guy got? No. Listen, this is what this guy got because of his hard attitude towards Jesus Christ in this cleansing. This is what he got. It's a boatload. He got this. He got more words from Jesus Christ that the other just didn't get. Amen. He got individual time alone with Jesus Christ that the others didn't get. Why? Is it really that hard just to turn? You need to be reminded, I need to be reminded. Paul said, awake to righteousness and sin not. The world wants to put you to sleep. The devil wants to put you to sleep. Your flesh wants to put you to sleep. And I say, wake up! No, nobody liked to be woken up. Shake her off. Break the frequency. Get that heart tuned in with God. That's how we got our country. When he comes to you and says, would you be willing? If the heart's not in tune, you're going to go, I can't do it. But when the heart's in tune, you can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth you. That's where it is. We're a small lot. And God loves to do things with small lots. Look at Gideon. He pared her right down. This guy got more. This is where it affects you and I. He got more instruction than the others got. He said, go thy way. This guy did not even have to go show himself to the priests. The Lord said, go your way, buddy. I really appreciate what you've done here. You're at my feet. You're doing it when nobody's watching. And maybe somebody are watching. And by the way, hey, where are the nine? Let me ask you something. Somebody else help me out here. Brother Barber, when these guys were in the city, how many of them were there? Good. Were they spread out in a line, or do you think as lepers they were kind of in a group? Oh, I would say so too. Did they all get healed at the same time by calling out to the Lord? Did they all start walking off to go obey Jesus Christ? What did the one do? He what? What did the nine do? Wait a minute. What did the nine do? There's more German for you. Nine. Why didn't one of them go with him? Why didn't two of them? Weren't they all healed? Weren't they all cleansed? Weren't they all saved from hell? Didn't they all get a home in heaven? Aren't they all eternally secure? Didn't they all get a book that's preserved and pure and authoritative and runs this whole universe? Didn't they get the God is their father and Jesus Christ is their brother and the whole kit and caboodle? And America too? Well, that's a whole nother sermon. Why? Why? I wonder what it was about that nine. This guy got a lot more. I'll close by saying this. Look at verse number 11. Excuse me, 19. He was made whole. Let me ask something, Brother Stewart. In your life, has the Lord restored back to you some of the things that the locusts have eaten up? In my life, I was saved. I was healed. I was cleansed of my leprosy at 10 years of age. I was lost. I was found. And then I figured I'd go run around some more. And I got not unsaved, but look at verse number 18. The Lord said, not found that returned. I was out in the world. I was a saved soul, living in the current of this world and the flesh and the devil and the crowd. I was living amongst possibly the nine in the majority. I was not made whole, like you find in verse number 19. I was fractured and miserable, feeding on the husks around me this world's lies and lusts and passions provided for me. This guy was made whole. It wasn't until, like in verse number 19, by faith I listened to God's instructions by way of other Christians and the Bible and the promptings of the Holy Spirit that I got plugged into God. And in verse number 18, like Jesus said, I returned. And in doing so, the Lord has made me whole and restored to me much and allowed me to glorify Him in some small ways of which I'm thankful. Lepers lose digits. The Bible says that we, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The Bible says, if I can find the verse there, it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love that we may grow up into Him in all things. This guy was made whole. Brother Moses, the guy got cleansed from leprosy. The guy got healed. This guy that returned back, the one percenter, he was made whole. The digits started coming back. The years that the locusts had eaten away this man's crop and stolen his family away and stolen his children away, and stolen his life away, and stolen his body away, and stolen his mind away. When he returned back, Cole, Jesus Christ, because of the observation of thankfulness and him being thankful, started restoring those things that were missing in his life. So my question to you today is, number one, where do you find yourself? Do you find yourself possibly, and this is between you and the Lord, I'm not coming down on you, I'm trying to handle you as a nurse handles her, and all that stuff that Paul talked about. I'm trying to help you here. But where are you at in your relationship with Jesus Christ, leper? Are you with the nine? Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad you're with the nine. I'm glad you're cleansed. I'm glad you're healed. I'm glad you're going about doing what the Lord would have you to do. But you're missing out. You're missing out because of your motive. You're missing out because you're hoodwinked. You're missing out because the world has that. That's why you hear all that music in the stores. So you won't think and you can't hear. Be still and know that I am God. Jesus asked the question, where are the nine? I'll close the message today by saying, are you a one percenter? I'm glad you're here and we're thankful for your faithfulness. Or are you in the nine? Observations of thankfulness. Let's bow our heads. Stay seated if you would. Observations of thankfulness. This man's thankfulness caused him to get some special revelations and some other things that the nine didn't get. Thank you, sister. The observation of thankfulness is found in Luke chapter 17. Shows us in order to grow as a Christian, you by faith must realize that you were cleansed, healed, and saved. And what you were saved from. And where you were saved from? You know, in hell, they're crying out for mercy today, just like these lepers. in hell, they're crying out for mercy, just like these lepers. And there's no mercy. That's what you were saved from, folks. Thank God for the horizontal blessings. Thank God for Thanksgiving. Thank God for America. Thank God for the turkey. Thank God for all that stuff. That's the horizontal. Praise the Lord. But thank God for the vertical.